Again, I am humbled to have the opportunity to stand on behalf of Jesus Christ. And just because it is evening service doesn't make it less important. And I hope, pray, and trust that every time we come before God, that we tremble at His word, that we understand that He is important, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. I want us to talk about Jesus tonight and Him being our high priest. The reason why I want us to look at Jesus being our high priest, because all of us need someone that's going to go to God on our behalf. Oh, yes, the Bible teaches us to pray one for another, 1 Timothy chapter 2. But wouldn't you want to have your Lord go to the Father on your behalf? When we consider Hebrews chapter 4, and our lesson will be coming out of the book of Hebrews, we're going to be taking about 35 minutes to look at this and take our time and allow our minds to go into the mind of the Hebrews writer. Keep in mind that as we are talking about this, some of the systematic arguments that the Hebrews writer brings out in the book itself. And the reason why is because the children of God at this particular time, Christians, who had come out of Judaism, something that they had been under for some 1,500 years, obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, threatening on going back under a system that had been nailed to the cross. Here the Hebrews writer brings out some pertinent information that I believe that we need to look into on tonight, to have not only a better understanding, but friends, a better appreciation for what Jesus did for us. And friends, I can't express this no more than what the Hebrews writer has expressed it already, but we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due season He will lift us up. You think about Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through verse number 16. We're going to use this as a starting point as it relates to this great high priest. Notice the language here. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want us to look at this, first of all, from a language perspective. Notice the language in verse 14. Seeing then we have, present tense. Friends, we have to teach our children how to read. For when we do that, then when they come to the Word of God, they will be able to see even the expressions that are in the mind of God. Present tense, we have a high priest who has passed. Past tense. Uh-oh, friends. We have to keep this in mind, that God Himself did a magnificent work through Jesus Christ, that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. This is not an earthly high priest, as we will see later on in the book of Exodus. No, friends, the high priest we have is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. making intercession and mediation for us. Now, let's just take a quick perusal through the book of Hebrews and make one or two points in each chapter. In chapter 1, we see that Jesus Christ is better because he is a better messenger. But why is he a better messenger? He's a better messenger because he is God. We see proof of this in verse 5 and verse number 6. And I love what God said as it relates to this better messenger. Reminded of what he said, to which of the angels did he ever say in verse number 13, sit at my right hand? Jesus Christ is a better messenger because he is God. He's not the angels. In chapter 2, he's a better messenger because he is a better man. What do we mean by that? Jesus Christ was not just God in the flesh. But Jesus Christ is that man that God chose to be his messenger. Notice, you see, I'm already getting happy. I need to calm down. Chapter 2, verse 6, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? Here, Jesus Christ was human. But Jesus Christ had the message of God in his mind and on his lips. Chapter 3. Jesus Christ, the apostle, verse 1, and high priest. Now, I have to admit that this did not come from me. It came from Kevin Rose, and it was so powerful that I had to use it. Jesus Christ is so powerful because being an apostle, one sent, he himself knew how to take God's message to man. But being high priest, he knew how to take a message from man back to God. Wow. You know, I can stop preaching already. Wow. Friends, do we get excited about the word of God like this? That here Jesus Christ can come from God to man because he knows how to deal and talk with man, but he also knows how to deal with man and take the message back to God. Wow. So with that being said, you go into chapter 4, and because of Jesus, we have a better rest. Oh, no, we're not talking about the rest going into the promised land as in the land of Canaan, but talking about the rest from our labors of hard working for God. We get to spend eternity with God. Chapter 5. We see that Jesus Christ did not rob the priesthood. He didn't take it. He didn't take it by force. It was appointed to him by God. Chapter 6. Chapter 6 and 7. We see something very powerful as it relates to God giving an oath. And when God gives an oath, you can take it to the bank, that check of cash. But then it brings up Melchizedek. And friends, we're going to look at that just briefly as we go to the book of Genesis, chapter 14, in a few minutes, verses 18 through verse 20. And how Jesus Christ did not rob the priesthood. As a matter of fact, it was God who used Melchizedek, and Jesus was going to be coming after the order of Melchizedek. For Melchizedek, being a king and priest, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, Jesus Christ, king and priest. Chapter 8. Chapter 8, we see that this is a better covenant. Chapters 8 through 10 are critical chapters in the book of Hebrews. As a matter of fact, when we consider chapter 8 through 10, if you was to study chapters 8 through 10 very critically, you would never go into denominationalism. Why? Because God has one covenant. He has one covenant people, and because of that, we better make sure that we are the covenant people. Chapter 9. Christ is that high priest of good things to come. Why is that important? Because of chapter 9 and verse number 14 and 15. Friends, when you think of chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, Jesus Christ, he is the reason why our conscience has been cleansed from dead works that we may serve. Friends, think about this for a second. When a person says that baptism is not essential for salvation, they're saying that I can serve God without being cleansed. When they say that baptism is not essential for salvation, they're also saying that the blood of Jesus Christ is not essential for salvation. When they say that baptism is not essential for salvation, they are also promoting a bloodless gospel. Wow. Hebrews is a critical book. Chapter 11, a view of a better faith. Chapter 12 is all about Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And chapter 13, great exhortations from the book of Hebrews. Now, I said all of that to say this. When you think of the term, or the phrase rather, high priest, and the term priest, it's used some 24 times in the book of Hebrews all by itself. There is something about the priesthood. Bible teaches us in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9 that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. God has always desired a great priesthood. But I want us to notice something very swiftly. Because when we think about this great priesthood, I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 14. In Genesis chapter 14, we come across a man of God. His name is Melchizedek. Verses 18 through verse number 20. And as you are turning there, I want us to keep in mind that God is going to be using Melchizedek as an object lesson for us to understand why is it necessary and important for Jesus Christ to be not only high priest, but king? King of what? Notice what the Bible here says. In Genesis 14, verse 18 and following, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who had delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of what? Of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say, I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and the portions of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Look at verse number 18. What is Melchizedek? King of Salem, and also what? Priest of the Most High God. Now turn to Hebrews 7. I want to show you something here. How the Bible explains itself. You don't have to go to a commentary. You want commentary? Have divine commentary. Let God tell you what it means. A lot of times what we do is, and I'm not trying to be mean, but we get lazy sometimes. And we go to what man says instead of going to what the divine oracle has said. The divine oracle trumps what man has to say. In Hebrews chapter 7, don't look at me, look at your Bible. Notice what the Bible has to say. For this Melchizedek, verse 1, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham. Hold on, didn't we just read that? That's called divine commentary. That's letting God tell you what God has already said. Notice what he says. Returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also gave a tenth part of all. For, notice, first being translated, king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Notice what Melchizedek was. He was a king of righteousness and also king of peace. What does that say about Jesus? You know Jesus' rule is a rule of righteousness. You know what his peace is? Righteousness. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse number 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Shouldn't we be a people of righteousness and peace? When you go to James chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, we see that wisdom comes forth from above, and we see that it has the fruits of righteousness. Friends, Jesus Christ is high priest, but his priesthood was none like the priesthood of old. Oh, let's talk about that. In the book of Exodus, chapter 28, here we see something very powerful. We see God making the priesthood. And there was a purpose for it. This priesthood did not come from man. Hold on, Jesus' priesthood didn't either. In Exodus chapter 28, verse number 1, notice what God tells Moses to do. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel. Notice why. Why does God want this? That he may minister to me as priest, Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Now, Brother Brian, this is a powerful point. And the point is that God's priesthood wasn't for mankind. God's priesthood was for them to minister to him. Hold on. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, we understand that we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices as God's priesthood unto God, acceptable through Jesus Christ. You know what worship is all about, friends? It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's all about God. And anytime we lose that mentality, we have already lost it. Because everything that God did was about him, and we benefit from what God has given us. Friends, some 20 something odd times, I want you to notice this. In chapter 28, verse number 4. Let me make sure I get that right. I need to get a bigger Bible maybe so I can see. Verse 3, verse 4, notice who the priesthood was for. Minister to me as priest, that they may minister to me as priest. Notice in chapter 28 and look at verse 35. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers. Look at chapter 28. And look at verse number 41. Notice the end of that passage. That they may minister to me as what? As priest. Notice chapter 29 and verse number 1. This is the last one I'm going to give you. If you want the notes, just let me know and I'll email them to you. Notice what he says. And this is what you shall do to them and hallow them. Why? For ministers to me as what? Priest. Friends, it was all about God. And because of that, Brother Popejoy, Leviticus chapter 9, the last two verses going into Leviticus chapter 10. Friends, this is vitally important. God does not want any tampering with the priesthood. In Leviticus chapter 9, the last two verses, we see that Nadab and Abihu, they offered burnt offerings unto God. And the Bible teaches us that fire came down from heaven and it consumed the burnt offering. But when you go into chapter 10, the first three verses, apparently there's a problem. Next thing you know, we got fire coming down from heaven because they used the wrong incense because of their maybe intoxication. The fire came down and consumed them instead of the burnt offering. You know what that says? God says, don't you mess with my priesthood. Hold on. God still ain't playing. Amen? I'm still in the Church of Christ, right? You know, God's still not playing. And one thing that just causes, at least in my mind, that scares me. And we live in a land that people are not afraid of God. One thing I do know, Hebrews 12:29 is still in the Bible unless you took your penknife to it. He's still a consuming fire. What does it have to do with the priesthood? Everything. Because now we have Jesus. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. I'll be done in here in a little bit. In Hebrews chapter 5, this is a powerful, powerful point. Here we see the priesthood of Jesus Christ, verses 6 through verse 10. I'm not going to read all of this. But why did Jesus have a right to the priesthood? In verse number 5, notice what the Bible says. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, this is God that said to Jesus, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest. How long? Forever. According to the order of Melchizedek. You drop down to verse number 10 and notice what your Bible there has to say. And friends, these are very powerful points that we need to keep in our minds. Notice what he says, start at verse number 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Called by God as what? High priest. After the order of Melchizedek. Why was this important? Because the high priest had a responsibility to offer gifts and sacrifices for the people to God. We see the priesthood as it began in Leviticus 1 through Leviticus chapter 9. We see the get your words right, Mike. I'm getting there. We see the, don't look at me like that, Dennis. We see the priesthood and their responsibility was to offer the burnt offerings. Here we have Jesus Christ as he offers himself sinless, pure, without spot. He did not take the priesthood. There was an example in Ezra chapter 2 verses 61 through 63 of some individuals that tried to get into the priesthood through fake genealogy. They said, oh, that's not going to happen. And the sons of Korah, they tried to take over the priesthood by telling Moses and Aaron that y'all have taken on too much for yourself. And they tried to take over the priesthood. And the next day, you know, the earth opened up and swallowed them alive. Don't mess with the priesthood. That's what God was saying. So here we have in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 20, we have more information concerning this priesthood. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Put in your notes, Hebrews 7:11, 16 and 17, 20 and 21. Look at verse 20 and 21. It was vitally important for Jesus Christ to be priesthood or high priest. Because God's name was on the line. Notice what he says. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they had become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Meaning God says, I am not going back on my word. My son will be high priest. You know what that also tells us? That when we go to God in prayer through Jesus Christ, 1 John 5, verse 13 and 14, he hears us. When we sin against God and we ask God to forgive us, 1 John 1 and verse number 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And I don't know about you, but I've met people, and you've probably been here at one time or another, where you have asked God to forgive you, but in your heart you say, well, maybe he hasn't forgiven me. No, he's faithful and just to forgive. And the reason why that's so important is because Jesus Christ, he is the one that liveth to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7, verse 25. This is why he did all that he did. And when you consider the priesthood of old, there was corruption in the priesthood in the days of Samuel. But never Jesus being corrupted as it relates to the priesthood. I want us to notice something as it relates to Jesus Christ. Because he himself have never sinned, and because of that, we can trust him. Look at it, Hebrews 7, verse 26. Notice what your Bible here has to say. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices for first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered himself up. Jesus never sinned. He was never corrupted. He never took a bribe. He always did what God said. Oh, and he was compassionate. Unlike Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30, you remember when the man that was left for dead, the priest saw him and walked on the other side. Jesus would have never done that. Jesus would have never done that. Why? Because he is a high priest who is compassionate and who sympathizes with our weaknesses. Friends, do we really, truly appreciate what Jesus has done for us? I'm so thankful for the wisdom of God of meeting on the first day of the week, that we may be reminded of what the Lord has done for us. Paul, unlike some of those high priests of old, you remember in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was being stoned and there was an uncompassionate high priest standing looking there. Jesus, I'm sorry, Stephen, as he looks into the heavens, he sees his great high priest standing on the right hand of God. You know what that means? Oh, God is there for us, and the Lord is there for us, and the only thing we have to do is continue to trust in God. Amen. We got to trust him. Jesus is our high priest. He's the one that made that one time for all time sacrifice for our sins. So because Jesus Christ is our high priest, we have this tabernacle made without hands, Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. Because Jesus is our high priest, we can go to God with boldness, Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. And because Jesus is high priest, Hebrews chapter 10, 37 through 38, we never have to draw back into sin. We can always stay with God. And it doesn't matter what you have done, you can always go back to God if you have a broken and contrite heart. Amen. I believe people commit suicide because they believe they don't have no other way out. Paul didn't believe that. He told that Philippian jailer, do thyself no harm. We need more of that, right? We need more people who's going to be in the lives of people. Do yourself no harm. I can teach you about Jesus. I can teach you about a man that cares about you, that loves you. And when everybody else hates you, God still loves you. But how do you know that? He gave his son for us. And because of Jesus being high priest, we can eagerly wait for the second time when he comes back apart from sin for salvation. Hebrews 9 and verse number 28. Friends, Jesus is our high priest. He's the one that sacrificed himself. He's the one that goes to God on our behalf. He's the one that knows how to talk to us through his word. He's the one that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Friends, we need to be reminded of what Jesus did for us, which means that we ought to do our part in making sure that we please our God. So here's the question. How often do you think about Jesus Christ being your high priest? Or is it like the brake pedal in your car? You just take for granted that when you step on it, your car don't stop. No wonder God wants us to come together every first day of the week. And I'm going to end this lesson here because I could keep going. But it pangs me in my heart, Brother Dennis, when men use the pulpit and don't use it for the purpose and glory of God. Amen? When they tell people stories and things that they want to hear instead of what thus saith the Lord. How can we be reminded of what Jesus did for us if Jesus never comes from the pulpit? Praise God that there are some who are still striving to do that which is right. Let us be mindful every day of the week to be thankful to God for Jesus, to be thankful to God for him being our high priest and king, that we will allow him to rule in our hearts righteousness and peace. And when that takes place, we'll be the people of God that God desires for us to be. Let us pray. Great God and Father, thank you for this time to just look at some finer points concerning Jesus Christ being our high priest. And we're thankful, Father, that you sent him to be the apostle, one that knows how to speak to man from you. But we're thankful that he is high priest, for he takes all of our cares back to you. Father, thank you for that. Father, help us to always have the attitude of a broken and contrite heart. We know that those are the sacrifices of yours. Help us, Father, to remain humble, to understand that without you, we can do nothing. But with you, we can do all things. We know, Father, that at times we fall short. We're sorry for that. We ask, Father, that you continue to be with us here at Ninth and Main, that we grow spiritually, emotionally, and numerically. And more people will want to come and hear what thus saith the Lord. Father, be with our children. Be with those children of ours that are wayward, rebellious, and cantankerous. And help us to talk with them and to get them to know that you're not playing, and that you're God and you're sovereign and everything that you do is right. Father, we love you for that. Father, be with our children that are doing what is right. Continue to bless them that they may grow stronger in grace and in knowledge. Be with our older members here, Father, that have been in the faith years, that are seasoned. Help them to be what Paul told Titus, that the older teach the younger. Continue to give them wisdom that they may teach us, nurture us, and give us those words of encouragement. Help us to be a sound congregation. But Father, help us who are rearing children not to lose focus on what's important. Yes, Father, we know we have to go out and make a living, but the living doesn't have to make us. Help us, dear Father, to be mindful that we need to rear up our children in the nurture and admonition of your ways. For we will either spend it on the front end or the back end. We would rather spend it on the front end with you than with tears and discomfort on the back end. Father, we love you. We ask that you be with our college children, kids, and be with those who are struggling in all areas of life. But Father, thank you for our great high priest who shed his blood that put us in a position that we can be in your sight and be in your presence. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, his teachings, that helps to mold our will and bend our will through the scriptures, that we may have attitudes that are righteous and peaceful and joyous, that we may know what we ought to do in order to be pleasing to you. And help us to always deny ourselves every day, that when we go through our high priest, Jesus Christ, we know for a fact that you will hear our prayer and answer it according to thy will. Help us to pray, Father. Forgive us when we fall short. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. This is not just a time where we come together and give an invitation. We're begging you to obey the gospel. James said, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little while, then it vanishes away. It's gone. If you're not a child of God, you're living beneath the privileges that God has created you for. God has created you to worship him, to serve him. The only way you can do that is through the obedience of the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins, where God will cleanse your conscience from dead works that you may serve. It's the only way you can do it, and it's all because of what that great high priest did. Maybe you're a child of God and you're taking for granted what Jesus has done. Well, let's stop that. Let's always be mindful and thankful for what God did for us through Jesus Christ. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.